Okay, we are prepared bays. No.
Not
for a while, we haven't started yet. No, because we finished Paragal. Okay, first base. Vayihi Bahalit Hashem et Eliyo Batsa'ara Hashamayim. And it was when Hashem brought up Eliyo Batsa'ara. Sa'ara is a storm. Hashamayim, Tishamayim. Meaning we're going to now start describing how this happened. That Eliyo is going to go up to Shamayim alive. Perek Beis. Malachim Beis, Perek Beis. Now, as we'll see, and the Mefarshim talk about it a little bit here, and we'll talk about it more a little bit later in the Perek, that where did this occur that Eliyo went up to Shamayim alive? It happened in Chutz Laaretz. It did not happen in Eretz Yisrael. As we'll see, Eliyo is going to leave Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. And the Mefarshim over here talk about it. Why did this unbelievable thing happen? This Mara HaGadol. Why did it happen in Chutz Laaretz? You would think Eretz Yisrael, the Makam HaKadosh, you have a Zahis Galus of a chariot, as we'll see, coming and taking Eliyo up to Shamayim. Why in Chutz Laaretz? You would think Eretz Yisrael. So the Radak here says the interesting thing at the end of Pasuk Aleph here, and he says on the other side of the Yarden is the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, and the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyo went up to Shamayim in the same place that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. His lashon is ki malosai ha'isakroiva l'malas Moshe. Eliyahu's Mila was similar, was close to Mila's Moshe Rabbeinu. So for the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu, since they're similar in their Milas, they were nifter, and he went up to Shemayim in the same place Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. The Radak. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh brings a Medrash that Eliyahu went up to Shamayim alive. The Malach HaMavis was not allowed to have any shlita on Eliyahu's neshama. The Malach HaMavis, his job is to take neshamas. He doesn't usually take not doing his job or not being allowed to do his job. He doesn't take it so easily. He doesn't take it laying down. He wasn't so happy about this, the Malach HaMavis. So says the Al-Sheikh, in order for Hashem to make this occur, that the Malach HaMavis should not have shlita, and he should go up to Shamayim alive, we have to remember, why was it that Eliyo, according to the Talmud Midrashim, why was it that Eliyo did not die? Because Pinchas zu Eliyo. Pinchas is Eliyo. Eliyo is Pinchas. And Pinchas was zoicha to Brisi Shalom. Brisi Shalom means that he's not going to die. There's always going to be shalom in him. He's going to be in a massive of shalom. When the neshama and his guf and all the parts of his guf are all together in harmony, shalom means harmony, that means they're working together and he's alive, that's shalom. So Pinchas was zaycha, Risi shalom, he'll never die. And that's Eliyo. Now, why was he zaycha to that Pinchas? Because it was Kinei Lelekov, V'lechilis Yes B'nei Yisrael. Hashem didn't destroy B'nei Yisrael. Pinchas saved B'nei Yisrael, so he was zaycha to this. Since he saved B'nei Yisrael from being killed, Mida Kinega Mida, he won't die. So therefore, in order for this to happen, that he should go up to Shamayim without the Malach HaMavis being shoylet, having any kayak over him, it happened to happen in the place where he saves B'nai Yisrael. In Evra Yardain, which was the place that Klai Yisrael did the Avera of Balpar, which Hashem decided that he was going to destroy Klai Yisrael with the Magaif, and Pinchas save them. So it had to be in that place where he was Zaycha to the Bris Yisholim because of saving Bnei Yisrael. That's the place it had to be so that the Malach HaMavah should not have any Shlita over him. That is the way the Al-Shuch explains it.
Can you give you a last point on
that the Malach HaMavah, the reason why Pinchas was Zaycha was because he saved Klai Yisrael, and that happened in Avra Yardain and by Baal Pa'ar. So therefore, in order for it to actually be brought to its to its fulfillment, that he won't die, he'll go up to Shamayim alive, it had to be to keep the Malach HaMavah quiet in the place where he was Zaycha to this, and that's in Avra Yardain. He was the only person who got Pris Yisholim. Right? Okay, so now. So, Vayelech Eliyo ve'Elisha mina Gilgal. So, Eliyo and Elisha left Gilgal. Elisha is Eliyo's Talmud and his Mamali Makam. And it's coming time now, the Pasuk saying, for Eliyo to go up. So, Eliyo is, so to speak, looking for the place where it's going to happen. And as we'll see, he's going to go to different places. So, Vayomer Eliyo al Elisha. Eliyo tells Elisha, Shev Nafa, you know, you should remain here. Ki Hashem shlachani ad Beisel. Hashem sent me there, and I have to go to Beisel. But you don't have to come with me. Vayomer Elisha. Elisha says, no. Chai Hashem. I'm making a shvua b'shem Hashem, b'chein afshecha, and a shvua in your name, ima azveka, if I am going to leave you, I'm not going to leave you, v'yedu b'zel, so they went together to b'zel. Now, Eliyo knew that Elisha is his memali makam. In Malachim Aleph, Hashem told him this b'feirish, that Elisha is going to be memali makam. And in order for him to be his Mamala Makam, Eliyahu is going to have to be Mashpia, he's going to have to give over some of his Koychus to Elisha. And Eliyahu knew this, but he did not want Elisha to come with him and witness the entire story, the vision, the Mara that's going to happen. He'll say goodbye to him here, he'll be Mashpia, whatever he needs to be Mashpia on him, and he'll go back there, and he'll go up to Shammai. Why? Why did he not want Elisha to come with him? So Rashi says, right here, Chafetz hayalit chaysay, machmas anova, shelo yira behilat chay. It was the anivus of Eliyo. Here he knows he's going up to Shemayim alive. He didn't want Elisha to be there to witness the whole thing. He'll do it privately on his own, mitaych anivus, and therefore he told him, stay here. Other Mefarshim, the Ralbag, seems to say, Eliyo wasn't sure if Elisha was going to be able to handle the whole thing. Maybe he'll become very afraid. He's not going to be able to handle the whole Mara. So therefore, he told them, listen, stay here. You don't have to come with me, and I don't want you to come with me, and that's what he was telling him. Elisha says, no, I'm making a shvua. Chai Hashem b'chei nafshecha, ima azveka. So the Radak says, once you say Chai Hashem, a shvua in the name of Hashem, why do you have to add on b'chei nafshecha, I'm making a shvua in your nefesh, in your nefesh. I mean, the most chomer shvua that could be is Hashem, so that's it. So, the Radak says, you're right, it's true, it doesn't add anything to the Shavua. The Shavua itself is as strong as could be. But to show Eliyo how much Elisha, I don't know what the proper word is, kigadla nafshev einav, how much he appreciated him, how much he was makshev him. So he added in that when I'm going to make a Shavua, besides making in the most chomerdik way, you have to say Hashem's name first. If not, you have the problem Shem had in this last week's parsha, mentioning Avram first. He lost his kahuna. You have to say Chai Hashem first. And once you're saying Chai Hashem, you don't need Chai Nafshecha anymore. But he wanted to mention Eliyahu's name to show him how choshev he was in his eyes, that he'll make a Shavua on his name. He'll make a Shavua on Chai Nafshecha. the Radak. So they went down, they went to Bethel. Vayetzu b'nei Hanaviim. Now the b'nei Hanaviim went out. Asher Bethel, the b'nei Hanaviim who were in Bethel. Now the pasuk says over here in pasuk Beis, it says he sent him, he told him, Hashem sent me ad Bethel, not into it, till Bethel. Seems he didn't go inside Bethel. So why didn't he go in the city? Why is he saying I was only sent to the city? Up into the city?
He's always sent to
the city. Pasuk Beis says, Ki Hashem shalchani ad.
William?
Yeah. So some Mefarshim say because Bethel was a place that Yerovim ben Nevat put a lot of Avodah Zarah there. And there was Avodah Zarah, Hashem Eliel didn't want to go in, and he said, Hashem sent me that I should only go there, I shouldn't go into the city.
Not really true then.
So the truth is that I don't know if there was a tzivui of Hashem of any of these things really. He was being mad to him and telling him, I have to go, because he knew he had to go up to Shemayim. And as we'll see in a moment, that Elio was trying to figure out exactly where this should happen. So I'm not sure exactly where the Nevuah came in to tell him to go. The Al-Shukh says that the reason Elio, and this is a little bit of a riot, that there wasn't a specific Nevuah which place to go to. The Al-Shukh says, why did Elio go to Bethel? He says, because there's a concept that whatever happens in a place, so the Roshem, the effect of that happening, that occurrence, remains in that place forever. Yaakov Avinu had a dream there. There was a Sula Musav Arza, Roshem Agiyah Shemaima, Malach Elikim Yoilim V'Yardzenboy. Elio knew that he has to go up to Shemaim. He didn't necessarily know exactly how it was going to happen. So he thought perhaps if there was once a vision of a Sulam there with Malach Elikim Olam V'Yardzenboy, it's still really there. The effect of that is still there. And therefore he perhaps, let me go to Bethel, maybe that's where Hashem is going to take me. Maybe I'll go up on the ladder. That's the first. If you're looking for a place to go up to Shemayim without knowing how to go, most practical place is a place where there's a ladder up there. So therefore says that's why he chose to go there. But as we'll see, he was incorrect. That was not the place where it was going to happen.
He didn't go in.
What?
He didn't go in.
But he went to that place. No. Where was the? How do you know where the ladder was? I'm saying the ladder was in that area. See, he's waiting around. If Hashem's going to take him up and push him towards the ladder, tell him to go to the ladder, he'll go. But if nothing happened, he realizes it's not the place. Now, so they came here, and the B'nai HaNeviim. What are B'nai HaNeviim? So the Targum says, Talmidei Neviyaya. These are like the Talmidim. These are the people who are learning. They're not Neviim, they're B'nai Neviim. They're learning to be Neviim. And they came out El Elisha. So they saw Elio there with Elisha. So they came out of the city. And they spoke to Elisha. Vayomru elav, and they told him, Hayadata, do you know, ki hayoyim Hashem lekech et adeinecha me'ar reshecha, that today Hashem is going to take your master from on top of your head? Vayomer, and he says, gam ani yadati, I also know, hecheshu, be quiet. Which pashupshat means, the Mitzudah says, he was, Elisha said that to them, Hecheshu, be quiet, stop talking about this. What? Elisha saw that Eliyahu wasn't talking b'chlal, and Eliyahu didn't even really talk to him about it. He was trying to get him away from because of his anivus. So he realized the ratzon of Eliyahu is that this shouldn't be like public knowledge here. So if the Nevi'im know about it, it's one thing. But stop talking about it. Keep it to yourself. That's what the Metzudah Yisdavid says. Other Mepharshim say that Vayomer gam ani yadati. He says, yes, I know. Kama. And then the pasuk relates, hechashu, and they kept quiet. Not that Elisha told them, be quiet. They asked, he answered, and that was the end of the conversation. Hechashu, they kept quiet. Other Mepharshim. Okay, now, if you'll notice here, they said, Ki ayoyim Hashem lekeach es adoinecha, your master. Now, why was Eliyahu only Elisha's master? Chazal tell us, the Medrash says, where did these Nevi'im come from exactly, B'nei HaNevi'im? And as we'll see, there's 50 here, and there's going to be 50 in the next city of Yericho, and then there's going to be some by the Yarden. Where did they all come from? Eliyahu was such a big Navi, says the Medrash, that his Shefa of Kedusha and Nevuah overflowed through the entire Eretz Yisrael, that so many B'nai HaNevi'im started cropping up. All of these Nevi'im, their Kayach was because there was an Eliyahu in the world. And as we're going to see, when Eliyahu goes up to Shemayim and he's not here anymore, these people are no longer Nevi'im. Story's over. Elisha wasn't big enough to do this. Only Eliyahu could. So the question is then, very simple. Like, Keach es Adoinecha? You're only a Navi because of Eliyahu. It's our master. Together. So Rashi brings here a Medrash, which is a Pele God of Anira. Es adeinecha veloy adeineinu. They were saying it's your master and not our master. Milamed says the Medrash, shahayushkulim kelio. That these B'nai HaNevi'im were equal to Elio. And therefore they said, he's not our master, we're friends with him, we're on the same level. He's your master, Elisha. And the question begging to be asked here is, these are B'nai HaNevi'im. Elisha's a Navi at least. These are B'nai HaNevi'im. They're in the course. They're in the training course. How could they... If anything, it's a Tainan, they said, it's Adeinecha. I would understand Rashi if he said, they said Adeinecha v'lay Adeineinu. And it was some type of Gaiva, it was some type of whatever it was. I could understand that. But Melameh, the Medrash continues to say they were correct. Sheshkulim are you? Shkulim, then why could you say that? We just called them B'nai HaNevi'im. So some Mepharshim say that, and the question is also, let's take it a step further, they know they're B'nai HaNevi'im, so what are they saying? How could they even say that? Even if you say they were wrong, they said it and they were wrong, but they weren't stupid people, right? They knew that they're only B'nai HaNevi'im, so how could they say they're Shakal Galiyot? So the answer some Mepharshim say is, no, of course in Nevuah they knew they weren't Shakal Galiyot. In Chachmas HaTorah, they thought, they said, Adeinecha. V'lay Adeineinu. Melamed shayu shkulim kaliyo. Says the Medrash, it could be in Chachma Satayra, they were shkulim kaliyo. And they said it correctly. I don't know. But even though it may be true that in Chachma Satayra, in one aspect, they may have been shakal, but they were incorrect in saying, Adeinecha. Because Eliyahu is a package. And in the package, they came nowhere near to who Eliyahu was. And therefore, it was a big chutzpah for them to say, Adeinecha v'lay Adeineinu. And as we'll see, Therefore, when Eliyahu does go up to Shamayim, they get nothing out of it. Elisha is going to get a ton out of Eliyahu going up to Shemayim. Unbelievable Ashbah. And these B'nai Hanavim, who theoretically could have been Zaycha to something, are going to get zero because they said this. Now, what exactly was the conversation between the B'nai Hanavim and Elisha here? Do you know Hashem is taking your master Mal Reshecha? Yes, I do know. Gamani Adati. That's the end of the conversation. What was going on here? What were they trying to say? So there's two ways of explaining it here. The Malbim says that a tzaddik, and Eliyahu is referring to here, an Ish Elikim, is like the lave of Klal Yisrael. Especially amongst his Talmidim, he's the Leiv. The Leiv gives a chiyus into the entire body. He gave a chiyus of Nevuah into all of Klal Yisrael, into Klal Yisrael. Whoever were the Nevi'im, they got their chiyus from the Leiv of the heart, which was Eliyahu.
The Leiv gives.
When the Leiv gets weak, all of the Evarim start feeling it. And they all become weak. But the ones that become weak the first are the ones that are the farthest away. Because it can't pump the blood or the chiyas as far. So everything becomes weak. But the ones that are closer, they've armed that are closer, so they're still getting their chiyas. The ones that are farthest away, they start feeling it first. Elisha was the Aver, so to speak, that was closest to the lave. He was closest to Elisha. These B'nai Hanavim were very far away from Elisha. So, when Elisha far away from Eliyahu. When Eliyahu, so to speak, is weakening, meaning because he's getting ready to go up to Shemayim, who felt it first? The B'nai Hanavim felt it first. That's not a riot happening very soon. Because, just because they feel it first, there could still be Chiyas left. So they wanted to know, how soon is this going to happen? Hayadata, do you, Elisha, know? Do you feel it? You're very close. If you feel it, that means it's happening very soon. Just because we feel it, it's not a riot or anything. So he says, yes, gamani adati, I also know, which means I feel it too. That means it's happening very soon. Well, they were false and still saying Abinecha. But in the conversation, right, what the Shakla Vataria was, that wasn't a problem. Now the Malbim continues to explain, and he says that when a tzaddik is nifter, there could be two reasons why the tzaddik is nifter. Number one, he says, sometimes is because the dar is not roi. The dar did chataim. Elisha Lekim is like a sun shining. Hashem says you're not roi, and therefore he wants to darken the day, so to speak, by taking away the shining sun of that tzaddik. Now, at that time, if that's the case, Hashem does not tell other Talmidim and Tzaddikim about that he's planned on taking away this tzaddik. Because, besides for davening, when a tzaddik is being nifter, as we'll see, he could be mashpia. People could take things from him. If the whole point of taking away the tzaddik is that he shouldn't be shining on the dar, Hashem doesn't want it that any other tzaddikim should chop some of the shine, to get some of the shine, and continue shining on the dar. The whole point is that there should be no shine, so to speak. So therefore he takes that tzaddik pitom. He takes him suddenly. Takes him suddenly in order that no one should have a chance to chop anything from him.
But I don't get it. If we are not feeling the tzaddik, then it would be so much better.
Obviously not. Right? He was here, nothing happened. I do have a Mashachachma somewhere, an Akhrema somewhere that says that Hashem somehow takes him away in order that should be less of a kitchrik on Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is not paying attention to how he's a bigger kitchrik. But at the same time, it's a night. What do you mean? But he was here, we didn't do anything. Hashem's punishing us. Sometimes Hashem punishes us, takes away the tzaddik.
Would he get more from when he's nitzer?
If you wake up. If you wake up. Only if you wake up. Sometimes, one second, sometimes the tzaddik nitzer because he was mashlim himself. The time came. He did his job in this world. Time for him to go get his schar. And it's time for his talmidim to inherit his crown. Then the pshat is that Hashem or the Navi tells his Talmud, his Mimale Mokum, he'll give over to him his Ashpa. He'll tell him what he'll be Mimale is, he'll appoint him. So the B'nai HaNaviim had a suffix here. Why is Elio going up to Shemaya? Is it because Hashem wants to darken the world from Elio's shine?
Well, if they know about it, then
no.
And then the
opposite. No, it will depend if Elisha knows about it. Because Elisha is the Mamala Makam. So they wanted to know. If Elisha doesn't know about it, that means that Hashem's taking him away because he doesn't want any. He doesn't want Elio in this world to shine on the world. And, like you pointed out before, they thought that perhaps if they know about it, they could be mispalel and maybe still save the day. Elisha doesn't know about it because he's not supposed to know about it. But if they were informed, so obviously there's a middle ground here. It's not an all or nothing. Perhaps they could be mispalel to keep him. So they said, Hayadata, do you know that Hashem is taking Adinecha me'al Reshecha? Because if you do know, that means that there's nothing to do about it. His time is up and it's time for you to take over. And that's why you know, you'll get the Hashba, your Mamal the Makan, he'll give it over to you. But if you don't know, so then maybe we'll dive in and maybe we'll try to keep him here. So what did he say? Gamani Yadati, no, I do know, and therefore, Hecheshu, be quiet, don't daven. There's no point in davening. That's not the issue here. He's not staying. He reached his shleimus and he's going up to Shemayim. And I'm going to be the Mamala Makam. That is how the Malbim explains. So number one, they felt it earlier because they were farther away. And says the Malbim, they asked Elisha, do you feel it? I mean, is it close? And he said yes. Furthermore, they were also asking, not just do you feel it, do you know he's leaving? Were you informed? Which type of patira is this? Is it the one that we're being punished? So we'll daven. If not, it's for the shleimus, and there's nothing to do. So he says, I know, because I'm the Mamala Makam and Hachashim. There's a Chasam Sofer in Drashas, where he gives a long hesped and his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler was his Rebbe. And, what?
I heard this.
You heard which part?
Something about the Hesped.
Okay.
I don't know, she's
from Petersburg. So,
Well, who says it?
The Chasam Sofer was a Talmud Muvak of Reb Nosson Adler. And it's an interesting thing, he was Nifter in Frankfurt, where he lived, on Chav Zayin Elul, it looks like, or Chav Vav Elul. And he was buried the next day on Chav Ches. And the Chasam Sofer didn't hear about it until Chav Zayin Tishrei, a month later. And on that day, was still Teich Tishleishim, one day Teich Tishleishim, and he was Maspidim. I don't know exactly why he didn't hear for so long. I don't know exactly the issue, but in the Hesped, the Rav Nosson Adler cries that he wasn't there by the Petir and he didn't know about it. And it's an interesting thing, he says in the Hesped that he had a dream that he saw Sifrei Torah dressed in black. And he asked in the dream why they're dressed in black, and they answered him, don't you know that the minig of your town where you were born, Frankfurt, is that on a day of a tainis sibur, they put the Sifrei Torah in black. And he woke up, and he didn't really understand what the dream was. But later he says, now I understood that the Torah was being misabel on the death of Reb Nosson Adler. Anyways, so thank you. Rav Nosson Adler. Anyways, so his lashon is, he says the whole thing, I'm roy to cry on him. There's a whole story how he became a Talmud of Nosson Adler. It seems Rav Nosson Adler was in a city, and some Sefer was a little kid, and he wanted to become a Talmud of his, so he jumped in the wagon and said, I want to come with you. He was like 11 years old or something like that, and Rav Nosson Adler told him, there's no room for you here, and he threw him out. He was trying to test him to see how dedicated he was, and he ran after it. He says he ran here 100 parsa. That's pretty far. He ran after it, so finally Rav Nosson Adler turned around and said, come on in. He left. He had to make an instant choice. He left. He didn't tell anyone. No, he didn't take clothing. He just went. And that's it. Anyways, the whole thing, a long story. Anyways, so he says, I could give a hesped, but I wasn't zoiche to see when he was nifter. I wasn't zoiche to cry on his kever. I wasn't zoiche to look at his face before he's nifter, because if I would have, I would have received some shefa from him. Like we'll see towards the end of the parak, when Eliyahu told Elisha that if you'll see me going up, you'll be able to get pishnaim, you'll get a big shefa from me. So now, and then the Chassam Sofer goes into our psukim here to try to explain exactly what was the conversation between the Bnei Anavim and Elisha. And he says as follows. He has a bunch of questions. Then he says, the Bnei Anavim had a nevuah. And their nevuah was the exact same words, kemat, that they told Elisha. The nevuah was, Hayoim Hashem Leikeach Es Adonai Elisha Me'al Roshai. Right, what did they say? Do you know, Ki Hashem Leikeach Adonecha Me'al Roshecha? The nevuah was, Hashem is going to take Adonai Elisha, the master of Elisha, Me'al Roshai, from his head. Now, there are two ways to interpret this nevuah. The pashup shot is, Adonecha is your master, is Eliyahu. Roishecha is your head, is Elisha. Like it says, Nafla Teres Roishenu. His Rebbe is his crown. Adonecha, your master, is being taken off from on top of your head. Which means to say it's being removed from your head and there is nothing left at all. Eliyahu, your Rebbe is being removed from your head and he's not leaving anything over. Like it says, Vaychanoich, Ve'enenu kiloka chesoya likim. Ve'enenu, he's not here anymore. There was nothing left from Chanoich. There was no Roshem, there was nothing left. Why? Kiloka chesoya likim. Elikim is Midas Hadin. When the Midas Hadin takes away the tzaddik, he doesn't leave anything over in the world. That's one way of interpreting the nevuah that they got. He's taking it off your master from your head, and there's nothing left on your head. Which means it's a bechina of Midas Hadin that is being taken away, and he's not leaving anything over. But as we know, that didn't happen. We know that Eliyahu is going to give over an unbelievable shefa to Elisha. So the truth is, it doesn't say in the pasuk ki hayoyim elikim leikeach es adaynecha lashon midas hadin ve'einenu kilaka chesay elikim. It says Hashem yukevalti, which is midas harachamim. So then, what does it mean? What does it mean, the nevuah? So of course, the pasuk pshat means that he's. This is slow. I'm going too fast. Okay. Tell me when you're ready. Ready?
We're saying
that
what it could have meant, or what some people believe it means.
We're saying two ways to explain that the Nevi'im didn't know what it meant, and there's two ways of interpreting the Nevuah. One way is, the Pashup Pshat, everyone agrees, is that he's going away. But what is it? What's the deeper Pshat? Does it mean he's going away and leaving over nothing? Or does it mean something else?
Yeah, but is only one of them right?
Only one of them is right, yes. So says the Chassam Sofer, you could understand this as follows. H- Hayoyim Hashem loikeach es Adoinecha. Adoinecha means your adnus, your rulership, your leadership. Hashem is taking your leadership position, you Elisha, your adnus, your leadership position. He's taking it, me'al roshecha means from on top of the head of Eliyahu, and he's giving it to you. Hayoyim, today Hashem likeach et adnusai shel Elisha, the leadership position, which is right now by Eliyahu, and he's going to take it off, and he's going to give it to Elisha. Which would then mean to say that Adarabba, not that Eliyahu's leaving nothing over, he's leaving a lot over. Elisha's going to get an entire shefa from, that is at the moment by Eliyahu. It's on Eliyahu's head now, and he's going to take it off of Eliyahu's head, and he's going to give it to Elisha. So on that day, says the Chassam Sofer, since Eliyahu was like similar to the Malbim, Eliyahu was, the Lev was getting shvacher, the Nevuah was shvach in the world. And the B'nai Nevi'im received this Nevuah, but it was very unclear to them what it meant. So they weren't sure. So they asked him, do you know that Hashem is lekeach es Adoinecha me'areishecha? Which means to say, they thought that the pshat is that Eliyahu is going to Shemaim and Elisha is going to get nothing out of it. So they said, do you know that this is going to happen? Now, there's a concept that a nevuah could go according to its interpretation, just like we find by a dream that it goes according to the interpretation. Nevuahs also need to be interpreted. Elisha understood from their question that they understood the nevuah that Eliyahu is going to leave with leaving over nothing. Like Midas Adin. Lekeach es Adinecha me'areishecha, the Pashut Pshat, you'll have nothing. And he was nervous. He was nervous that they should speak that out b'feirish. Because if they do, says the Chassam Sofer, the aziku b'diburam, they could really make trouble. Because bris krusalus v'sayim. A Navi has the ability to interpret what he saw. He was afraid that they were going to mess things up here. And therefore he said, right. And therefore he said, Gam ani yodati, I also know about it. Which he explains, what's the gam, what's also I know? Not only that I know that he is going to be going up to Shemayim, I also know that he is going to leave over a shefa. I know there's going to be Ashras Ashkina afterwards. And therefore, Hecheshu, keep quiet. Because you're interpreting the Nevuah wrong. And if you go any further, you're going to mess things up.
What's the reason for that?
The gam means not only do I know it's going to happen, I also know that there's going to be a shefa. Meaning I know it's the opposite from what you say, what you are saying. That is the way that Chassam Sofer explains the Shakla Vitari over here. That there are two ways to interpret, just to review quickly, there's two ways to interpret the Nevuah. They got a Nevuah, Hashem is taking Adoine Elisha me'al Raisha. It could either mean he's lifting Adoinecha, your master Eliyahu, off of your head, and there's nothing left. And really, they were a little bit incorrect, because it wouldn't be Hashem, it would be Elikim. When Hashem takes the Tzadik, v'midas hadin, ve'inenu, there's nothing left, like by Chanoch. When it's v'midas harachamim, they leave over a shefa. So therefore, it's an entire different meaning. Hayadati ki hayoyim Hashem loikeach. This is not what they asked, but the nevuah was hayoyim Hashem loikeach es adoinecha means your abnus, your leadership. Hashem is going to take it off of the head of Eliyahu and put it on your head, Elisha. Me'al Reishecha almost means Me'al Reishai Al Reishecha. From his head onto your head. Your leadership is going to come from Elio. That was the true pshat in the Nevuah, says the Chassam Sofer. But since it was the day, like the Malbim said, that Nevuah was shvach, especially amongst the Bnei Anavim, because the Leib was getting shvacher, so therefore they didn't understand it, and Elisha understood from what they said that they didn't understand it correctly, and he was nervous that they will mess it up by interpreting it the wrong way. So he told them, not just ani yadati, gam ani yadati, I know that there's more to it. I know more than you know. I know that if you're interpreting it wrong, and therefore, hecheshu, keep quiet. Don't say any more because you can ruin things. The whole situation, yeah. For both of them, it's a mila for Elio to leave over, and it's a mila for Elisha, and it's a mila for Klai Yisrael, and they're going to mess everything up. Alright? Probably a mila for themselves too. Alright? There should be Elisha with a shefa from Elio. So that was the conversation. Vayomer lo Elio, and Elio said, Elisha, shev nafai, stay here. Ki Hashem shlechan Yerichai, I'm going to Yerichai now. Yerichai, we could explain the reason why he thought maybe he should go there is because that was the first city Klai Yisrael came to when they came over the Yarden, and there was big Nisim done there. So perhaps Elio thought, as he's looking for the places where he's supposed to go, maybe that's the place that's going to happen. Vayomer. Yeah. So Vayomer, Elov. I'm sorry. So Vayomer, and he said again, Elisha Chai Hashem, Chinapshukai Mezveka, Vayavay Yerichai. Vayik Shabrianavim Hashem Yerichai. The same thing happened. They told Elisha, Yadati Kiyayim Hashem Lekech, said, Benechem Arishecha. He says, yes, I know, Hakshu, keep quiet. Vayomer Elio, Elio tries to get rid of him again. Shev Nafai, Ki Hashem Shlachani Hayardena. Now, he must have had some type of feeling from Hashem here, exactly where to try to go. I don't know exactly how he knew now to go over the Yarden. So he went over he says, Hashem sent me to go over the Yarden, stay here. So he's going into Chutz Lares now, like we explained before. Again, Chai Hashem, V'chai Nafshecha, I'm not going. Now, over here the Mefarshim again talk about why did this happen in Chutz Lares. We just said in Pasuk Aleph, two reasons. Either the pshat is because he was similar in Mila to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Radak said, or we said before, because that's where he got his chus of living forever, so it had to be taken care of over there. The Kliyakar,
why they bring him again?
Oh. Because over here is when he really goes over. The question is really why they brought him before. Because they were giving a haktama, so they spoke about it before. So, the Kliyakar gives two explanations why it was in Chutz Laretz. One reason he says is because since Elio wanted to be Mashpia on Elisha, he went to the place that is Mukshar for that. It's a place that is very good, it's a Mesugal, so to speak, to give over the Hashpa. Why? Who gave over the Hashpa? Moshe to Yeshua. Moshe to Yeshua, Neba Yardain, Menasata Mehoitzchalav, said Hashem. Right? Yilim HaShvi on him, like a Ner, Rashi says, it gives over. So therefore, when he wanted to also give over from Elio to Elisha, he went to the place that's Mesuga for that, the place that Moshe gave over to Yeshua.
Then why would he try to push him off?
What?
Why would he try to push him off so much?
According to the Kliyakar?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question, huh? I look in the Kliyakar. I didn't look inside the Kliyakar. So I heard it brought down. I'll look inside, see what he says. Another pshat that the Kliyakar says is that, and this will fit, this will answer your question. He says that Elio was still not clear if Elisha is roi to see the Mara or not. We said before that. We said before that when Rashi said Al Tanivus, and the other Mefarshim said he didn't want to scare him, and he wasn't sure if he's going to be able to handle it. He still wasn't 100% sure, and just because Elisha's making shuas doesn't mean he's really right. So he's going to give one final test, and that is if he's going to make it over the Yarden with him. Because as we're going to see next time, he's going to split the Yarden, Eliyahu, to go over. So now let's see if Elisha's going to come with him in the split Yarden, not getting wet. So then he'll know that he's roy to be with Eliyahu the whole time. If he's not going to make it over the Yarden, or he's going to have to get wet in the Yarden, so then Eliyahu is going to realize that Elisha is not roy, and as we will see next time, that he's going to make it over. We'll stop over here.